I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Jennifer.
And you're listening to the Haitian American Diaries,
a podcast featuring in-depth conversations and personal stories of perseverance, life lessons, and success.
American Diaries listeners, and happy Pride Month. Today on our episode, we are bringing back a former guest of ours, our friend Ruel, and he was on a previous episode called Caribbean Friends, Caribbean Privilege. If you guys haven't listened to it yet, please check it out. It gives you a nice little introduction to Ruel and his upbringing a little bit. But today, in honor of Pride Month, we wanted to have Ruel come on and just talk about his coming out story, which is just a great story to listen to. And I know a lot of people struggle with this, and just having him give the opportunity to come on the platform and talk about it, because, you know, he was in the military and he is a professional man, and it just kind of allows people to see, you know, it doesn't matter anything that you've been through. You can prevail, you can persevere, and things work out. So, Ruel, welcome back.
Welcome back, Ruel. Quick question before we dive in. I wasn't the first person you came out to, was I?
You guys are like the first friends of like, that like knew people that I knew, like you guys knew my like all my friends and parents. You're like my first inner circle people, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. Cool.
So I'm gonna just kind of dive right into the questions and we'll see how the conversation flows from there. Just like growing up, do you remember what you were taught or like what you heard about homosexuality growing up, especially being in an environment that was just primarily Black African-American people, and then also from your Jamaican culture?
Yeah. As early as I can remember, there was always something or people saying something about it where it kind of let you know that it wasn't acceptable. People making fun of other people. In both cultures, I can remember like early memories that my godmother that I spent some time with, one of her daughters is actually a lesbian. So I think that kind of made it easier, but it was weird because it was a thing that you didn't really talk about. Like we knew that she had a girlfriend but it wasn't like stated. It was just like, oh, that's her friend. And it was very weird. Like it was like almost like the don't ask, don't tell thing, but in regular life, like civilian life.
Do you remember when you realized you were attracted to men?
I would say, I mean, believe it or not, it's kind of just like any other kid where when you're a kid, you don't really know, like, you're not thinking of sexuality or anything like that, but you know, you might have a crush on someone, just like a straight kid, like he might have like a girl that he liked in class or something like that. I can remember as early, like as far back as like elementary school, thinking like of like certain people, like, oh, like he's cute or something like that, and but not knowing what it was, or not knowing, like it wasn't like a label to it or anything like that. Certain things that would happen, like, didn't realize, and like till like years later I'm like, oh, that kid liked me and I liked him. That was weird.
So from what you kind of learned at home and with your family, and did you automatically kind of know that that feeling was wrong when you were little and saying, oh, that boy is cute, and other boys are saying, oh no, that girl is cute? Did you automatically have a sense like this isn't normal or this is wrong?
Yeah, I think I can remember, like, certain memories kind of stick with you. I remember, like, thinking, like, that was different, but not knowing why, but not thinking that it's something that I could tell people. So just kind of something I kept to myself. And there's certain things where, like, I think it might be more obvious as, like, an adult that's paying attention, like, oh, that kid's a little different, but I don't know.
Before you came out, did you have, like, moments when you wanted to, but you didn't?
Yeah, there was a few times. Thinking back, it's definitely when I was in the military, it made it a little bit more difficult because I was in when it was still don't ask, don't tell. So at that point, it went from, you know, like a personal thing to like a professional thing where it could literally get kicked out and get a dishonorable discharge. So it was like, yeah, it's not really a time for it. I remember wanting to tell my mom. I think I sent some kind of email. I don't think she remembers, but she sent me an email. Like, it was weird. I think when I was like away on training or something, like, it's okay if you are like she, it's almost like she gave me an out, but I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I was just like, not, I don't know, so far ingrained and like in like deep in the closet that was like not trying to come out. But it was almost like living a double life, double triple life. Like, certain things were segmented. Like, there's people that very much knew, and there's people that had like no clue. And even in the military, there's people like during the don't ask, don't tell time, there's still very much gay people. Like, gay people are everywhere. You just don't, this is whether you're allowed to be yourself or not. There were people who, like a lesbian service member, and it was weird because I was like, wait, are you? And he was like, are you? And then we like became friends. And so I was like one of the few people that like I was out to, and it was kind of refreshing to be not hiding a huge part of yourself.
And I think it's like interesting just kind of hearing you say like your mom was like almost like giving you the out, because I think we've talked about it where when me and you were really, really close, like I had male friends that would be like, oh, your friend Ruel, he's gay, right? And they didn't say it in like a negative way, but they would just be like, oh yeah, Ruel, he's gay, right? And I used to be like, no, like, I think I would know, you know, like, I think he would have told me, like, no, I don't think so. Like, there was never like a moment where, and like you said, you were living like this double life. So you really found a way to like really play it, you know, play it where that part of your life was separate, because the people closest to you, me and Jenny, like, I don't even think it ever crossed my mind. And I don't think it was,
I definitely didn't have a clue.
Yeah. You know, like, I don't think it was a moment of thinking like, oh, there's no way that my friend could be gay, but it was just like, it wasn't a thought.
It wasn't an option. I didn't think it was an option. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would say it's like, almost like code switching, like a topic that comes up in the Black community of like how you conduct yourself at home versus work and stuff like that. So like there's an aspect of that. So it's like a professional self with your friend self, a like with your, you know, other friends that are, you know, under the rainbow self. So yeah, that's pretty much.
And that's why you said the whole double triple life, because it's like you had to, you created that different faces. But it's kind of, it's really, you know, kind of interesting to hear that you probably felt more open in the military, even though technically you weren't supposed to, you know what I mean? Like, you know, tell anyone, or it wasn't supposed to be expressed, but that's where you kind of felt more yourself in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah. First the point. So you really want some tea. All right, let's get juicy. So, in the military, back in my first deployment, this is like 05, there were, like, websites, I don't even know if they still exist, like, Adam for Adam, and Manhunt, stuff like that, where you, gay.com, I don't even know if these sites still exist, because like everything's like an app or whatever, but you could go in there and you would find people who are like local. And so my first deployment, there was on that site, you could put like what city state you're in. So if you're stateside, it'd be like city state. So like before going to my first deployment to Iraq, I was stationed in New York before heading over. So I was able to find like other people. And some people, you know, just to hang out, some to, you know, to do more, whatever. So, yeah, and it was, I remember meeting someone from like the New Hampshire National Guard or something and being friends and stuff. Then there was also like clubs, the local clubs, going there. I remember I was shocked. I went to this club because like every base is kind of like there's like a town nearby, some closer than others. But we went into town and there's one little rinky dink gay club. And I ran into this captain that was in my unit. And I, mind you, I'm just like a private first class or something like that. And I'm like, whoa, who's this guy? Wait, what?
Oh
and
my it, God.
Yeah. It's funny. I was actually just thinking about him today because he was randomly, I think, you know, Facebook shows you whose birthday it is or something. I'm like, oh. What the heck? I think his birthday is today or something.
Damn, you like, done outed his ass right now. No, I'm joking. His birthday's today. He was so proud.
What was that like? Did y'all like lock eyes? Like what happened?
No, I don't think he knew I was there. And we weren't in the same unit per se. We were in like the same battalion. So like, but I remember seeing him like with friends, like he was just having a good old time with like friends. Like I think he might have had local friends, but they were like they were like in a group of people and they went somewhere like, and I like wasn't in that place for very long, but I just remember seeing like clearly seeing him and seeing him like look happy and in his element or whatever, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. And there was like maybe two or three other people that I've seen at that place.
Was it like exhausting though? I'm kind of throwing in questions, but was it exhausting to do that like code switching and double triple life? Like, did it, were there moments where you're like, I can't keep doing this? Like, this is too much.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, I think it's something that people do automatically, don't even know. Like, same thing with like how you speak at work and stuff like that. So to some degree, it was just kind of natural. And I feel like even today, like, I feel like hanging around certain friends, you might be more like, oh, hey, what's up? And others like, oh, hey, what's up? What are you doing? Or something, you know, it's just like kind of a thing that happens. What started getting exhausting is like the paranoia of it a little bit. Like, so like on Instagram, I'll show you like, what, or Twitter or Facebook and stuff like that, I'll show you like what things you liked, and I'll like, oh, I want to click like on that, and I'm like, oh wait, but then people see, and then next thing you know, my Instagram is showing my likes are all like either cars or like, you know, pictures of like random guys or something like that, and I'm like, wow, should I make a separate account for this or should I do that? It's just like, who can I get my phone number out to? Who, like, I don't, you know, it's just, you start thinking of stuff. And then we had our friend, Joey. I remember I went to meet some guy and he had like, I guess like a hair was on me, but it was, and I remember Joey saying like, this hair is long enough to be a girl. It's a, like, it was like, I was like, are you kidding? All right, Sherlock Holmes. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm like, what if it's like a long hair that broke off? Like, are you gonna like measure the striations at the end to see if it ripped? Like what are you doing? And so I just started making you more paranoid and things like that. It's like,
so describe the days, I guess, moments leading up to when you pretty much came out, because I remember that long Facebook post.
I think what started happening is that I kind of eased out of the closet, which was like having certain friends that knew, and then having certain family members that knew, stuff like that. What kind of made it accelerate is that I started dating someone. Backing up a little bit, I would go down, my mom moved down to Florida, and little did I know, like, we kind of just been growing up in like very gay friendly areas, but not knowing, like, being naive, like, apparently Maplewood is like one of the most gay friendly towns in New Jersey. Yeah, definitely. And like people flying rainbow flags and all that stuff next to like Asbury Park or something. But then my mom, she moved to the South Florida, the Fort Lauderdale area. And apparently, like, Fort Lauderdale is like a gay mecca where like the council, the mayor, the council, like, there's like a whole infrastructure up there. And I didn't know anything about this, but she moved down to that, near that area, and I would go to the little section Wilton Manors, where it was like just like different clubs and even the restaurants are, and it's like a like an oasis or something. So I kind of just started being more comfortable. Like, I'd go there during like spring break. Winter break is a great time when it's like cold and miserable in New Jersey. It's like perfect weather down there. So I ended up meeting someone, and we're hanging out and stuff. We kept in contact when I came back home, but obviously since my mom lived down in that area, I kind of had an establishment. It was like a second home. So we kept in contact, saw each other again when I came back down. So it was kind of a long distance relationship. And then he decided to transfer his job up to New Jersey so we could like live together. So at that point, it's like, all right, how do I explain? Like, I wasn't trying to be like, oh, this is my roommate. And like, it wasn't, I don't think some people can like hide in the closet easier than others, but like what I've kind of learned is, if you're with someone and they're like not really in the closet, it kind of just puts you out of the closet automatically. Like, they're like, all right, if he's gay, are you gay too? Like,
yeah. So, and you're such a social person anyhow, so it would be really hard to like, yeah. You're like, okay, what is this situation right now?
Yeah, like, who is this character? Plus, there was like an age difference and like a culture difference. He was from Texas and stuff. So it was like, all right, how do you guys know each other? Who is this person? So I ended up moving in together, and I just remember mulling it over, like, all right, should I come on? I was like, yeah, sure, do it. Like, why not? And I ran it by you guys, which I've been told you guys about him. And
yeah, Artie, we kept like, your secret for years before you came out. Like, years, years. At least 3 or 4 years before you actually came out. Like, I just remember moving to Jersey, and right before I moved, you called me and told me, and I was like, what? And, you know, because back in the day, we had this weird dynamic in our friendship where, you know, people thought we would get married.
My wife from another life.
My wife. Yes, definitely. We were definitely connected in another time. And I remember finding, I was like blindsided, but at the same time I felt, you know, I was happy that you told me, and I definitely felt like I was going to protect that. Although I did tell my sister, cause like, you know, that's just how we do. And then I think later on you told her, and then even I think I told her, and you were kind of worried, but then it was like, it's fine. Like, she knows, I know, like, we'll keep it. And we kept it till the end of time. You know what I mean? Until you were ready to come out.
Did you think we would react like weird or wrong or badly?
No, I don't know what before you come out, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. You assume if the worst is going to happen, that everyone's going to hate you, you're going to get disowned, you're going to get kicked out. Like, because there's some real horror stories from some people, but I think the timing, like, things were just progressing where the opinion of it shifted very much so from, like, even just 10 years before. Like, states were starting to make it legal. Like, TV was starting to have representation. Like, that time when I came out, it's still before you were allowed to get married and stuff, but I think maybe like Massachusetts or something, it was legal. So it's like almost like it's like a thing now, you know? So But yeah, it was just like a weird, it was a state where it was like a weird kind of open secret-ish kind of thing, where I was like, felt like one of those like celebrities or something, like, I don't know, Rock Hudson or something, James Dean or something, where like people in the industry knew, but other people didn't. So then what ends up happening after I'm, you know, in this relationship, I think it was around my birthday, I just decided to like, I'm like, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to post about it. And that's what happened. I made a Facebook post. I wish I could find it actually, but it kind
of... Give me a couple of minutes, because if I could find it, then we're going to read it at the end of this. So just okay. Give me some time, but go on.
Yeah. Facebook reminds me of it like every so often when they do that, like, hey, it's been 7 years since you came out or something like that. So
then it was like confetti everywhere. Yes.
So what it was, I was like, I think I'm gonna do it. And they were like, you're gonna do it? And I was like, okay, I think it's gonna be at 10 p.m. on Tuesday at whatever. It was like a thing, and like Liz like, yeah, do it. And I'm like, I don't know. And then she's like, all right, you do it, and then I'm gonna like it right after, and Jenny's gonna like it right after, and we're gonna start the throw. Like, it was like a whole thing. And then I'm still like thinking about it, like getting like nervous, because it was like weird. It was like I don't know, like pushing a button on something, like, all right, we're gonna launch this, you ready? And then it happened, and then just all of a sudden, like, all these people were, like, liking and commenting. I was like, whew! Yeah, it was crazy. And then just people that I haven't talked to in a while just, like, messaging me, like, hey, you know, it's cool. Like, you know, nothing's different. And it was pretty, overall, it was positive. There were some things. Like, I think my mom was fine, but she didn't like the fact that I just did it publicly, because it was like one of those things you kind of, like I said, it was one of those things you don't really talk about. So it's like, all right, why'd you have to tell the world? But she's like that with a lot of things, like why you put your business out on there, even things like people showing their vaccine cards, like getting it. It's just like anytime certain things private for social media, like, and I get it, because like you're putting out a lot of people put out more of their business than they should. So it's like using that just for like, I don't know, promotion. Or
it's a lot.
Personal. Yeah. Go ahead.
How did you end up telling your mom?
So I kind of, when she, like the years back, I kind of denied it, and then it kind of wasn't really a thing. And then we really didn't talk about it, and that post was kind of like, I think that's why it was like upsetting. It's like we couldn't have a conversation about it first. I'm finding out through this post, you know. So like, I think she knew or had a strong inclination, but like that post like really solidified it. Like, okay, here it's real. And there's like times and things where she knew, like I was like, guys, like I have friends, but she might have thought like, oh, that's just a friend or something. And I remember this guy that I met when I was like younger, and I brought him to the house, but she wasn't home, and then she came home, and I'm like, oh my god. And I like thinking fast, I gave him, I used to play bass and like play instruments, I'm like, here, take this. And like, oh, we're just practicing music.
Wow.
He's like holding it like upside down, like, yeah, we're just playing the good old guitar, like, all right, we're gonna leave now.
I found it, and it was a lot shorter than I thought. I don't know, for some reason I thought you like did this long speech, but it wasn't,
it
even
felt
that
long. It felt no. Like I was like putting my whole thing out there, but then I went back and read it. I was like, oh, that's like a paragraph.
It was literally a paragraph. It was like, thank you all for the birthday wishes. I've been thinking lately about the many aspects of my life: student, veteran, musician, car enthusiast, hoarder, computer nerd, etc. As I get older, I realize one part I didn't share might not be that big of a deal to keep hidden. That part is the fact that I'm gay. And then, of course, right away, Liz responded, I responded. And then, of course, other friends responded. And Joey, who the one that found the hair, responds, about time, bitch.
What did I say?
I mean, it was nothing. You said, yay, I'm so proud of you and love you even more. Wish I could give you a big hug. Great big birthday surprise. And I said, you already know how happy I am. I've never been more proud of anyone in this moment right now. And all I can say is finally, and I love you so much. So.
I couldn't find it.
Oh, we were so supportive. Look how supportive we were.
I know.
I'm a private eye FBI agent. If anyone has heard in previous thing,
access. Yeah, like I can't even find it in my own timeline. It goes quick. All right, Inspector. So,
how did you end up coming out to your dad then? Was that the same? Did he see it on Facebook too?
Or
was
it no? My dad is nowhere near his Facebook. You know, Facebook, book face, nothing. I barely can get him a text. I feel like I don't even know if I ever technically came out to my dad. I think I just introduced him to my boyfriend. I don't even know. Like, so coming out is an exhausting process. Like, it's a weird process because you don't really, like, coming out, like, it's hard to explain, but you kind of have to come out over and over again, really. It's like, because it's just a part of your life. It's not like I came out, like, then you meet someone else is like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm getting, like, it's like, how do you do that? So, I'm pretty sure my mom probably called him or something like that, and I don't know. He was very cool about it. Like, it doesn't really come up as, like, a topic or anything. Never had a specific discussion, but he's never made me feel weird. Like, I was kind of, I don't know, it was very, very good. Like, I think I was very fortunate compared to a lot of, like, family backgrounds. Because, I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, gay people are everywhere. Like, everyone has a gay relative. It's just whether they're allowed to be themselves. So I think it was, I'm very fortunate. I even remember when my mom was dating this guy, and we were at, it was like New Year's Eve or something, and I was coming down to visit, and the guy, they're just walking, and he's like, he sees like two guys, I think just like a New Year's kiss, and he's like, yeah, two bastards kissing or something. And she's like, I've never forgot what she said. She's like, how's it changing, my dear? Like, so yeah, I think it's been pretty good for me.
So yeah. you would say that you really didn't have any sort of like negative situations with anyone coming out?
No, I think it was the cost benefit of it. The benefit was far greater. I think my only thing was my mom, like, not thinking that like just blasting like a public blast was like necessary or anything. And then she's like, I don't know, she kind of like wasn't on Facebook that much afterwards. I don't know how she's handling it, but she came back, but she was fine with me and everything. So
yeah, you definitely lucked out in a sense in comparison to some other stories. So especially coming from, you know, a Caribbean background, a Jamaican background, where yeah. A lot of people, you know, here, like, in especially in Jamaica, it's completely looked down upon, and people, you know, yeah. get beaten and shunned. And for your family to be so accepting, you really, really, really got lucky on yeah. that.
I would say things that helped were kind of coming out in waves, like having your support network, coming out to friends, like, you don't have to, like, do it alone. Having other friends in the community. So like, if someone were like thinking of like how would they come out, I would probably tell like someone, like a friend first, maybe even like knowing other people that are gay. Then I would probably tell like a relative, like a younger relative, like a brother or sister or something, and then kind of like work your way through, and then you have like your parents, and then you have like your older relatives that might be more conservative, like that kind of order. It's like a process.
A tiered approach.
Yeah, it's a tiered approach. But then I was like, you know what, let me just put it out there and let everybody. I was like, I'm just going to broadcast. Like, I'm over it. I'm like, here we go. One and done. And then some people years later, so I had a friend from the military. I think I posted something about my anniversary. And he's like, I didn't know you were kidding. Like, it was like, what is this, like 5-6 years later or something? I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. It was out there.
Surprise. I mean,
technically, it's funny because that post, I mean, your wedding had like 137, but I'm sure your network grew. But this one had like 90 likes and like 36 comments. You know what I mean? But I'm sure it was the time as well. Like,
I didn't use Facebook that much. I think I tried to look. I think I might have, like, a couple people might have defended me from there, like one or two or something like that. But for the most part, it was mostly I barely used Facebook then. And then I started adding more people when I started doing like the political stuff and community outreach stuff. So I didn't have that many Facebook friends at the time, I don't think.
And you talked about, I guess, you know, like your first real relationship where you moved in with your partner. What was dating like up until you finally met your husband now?
I met someone in Florida and he ended up moving up here or up to New Jersey. I lasted for like a year, year and a half, something like that. Between then, it was kind of just doing my own thing. Wasn't really looking for anything. I think I finished school around the time that we, finished school and I started my first job. So after that, I was just kind of doing my own thing. I started working in the city, in New York City, and kind of learning more about the community and stuff, hanging out after work at certain places. There's like Hell's Kitchen has the neighborhoods there in Manhattan. And Chelsea, so just kind of just being free, like no real expectations. So I ended up meeting my husband after a holiday party from work. Actually, I went with a friend, and then the friend was like, that was kind of talking to, and he was like, "I'm gonna head home." Blah blah blah. And I'm like, what? It's a night of like open bar, free food, free drinks, whatever. I was like, well, it's such a good night. And it was like, the weather was perfect, even though it was like December. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go into the Hell's Kitchen and just go around. And that's where I met him and exchanged like Instagram and stuff and kept in touch.
I remember you telling me when you, like, after you two met, and then you dropped him off, like you guys had spent that like whirlwind romance weekend in Florida and you had dropped him off with your friends and you were listening to like Mariah Carey Emotions and you were like, I have never felt this way before. I just feel like this wave of emotions. And I was like, oh my God, like this is so beautiful. And I don't know if I particularly in that moment was like, oh yeah, you're definitely going to marry him. But there was something about the way you were talking and acting. You were just like, I just feel so emotional and I'm just so sad that he's gone. And I'm like, this is so beautiful. Like, it was just like a happy moment. And I don't, like, did you realize that in that moment? Like, okay, I think this might be it for me.
Yeah, it was a interesting time because we met in New York, but he was also in the process of like, potentially moving, like exploring like his options, where he was going to go. So it almost would have been like a missed opportunity. We both happened to be in Florida. Like, he was in the Orlando area and I was down in Fort Lauderdale. So we ended up coordinating to meet up again. And then we ended up just spending so much time together. But then he had like another trip planned and stuff. So he was going to cancel it. I'm like, no, just go on your trip. And then next thing you know, like that time, like after we went on that trip, I was just like, it felt like part of me was like ripped away. And it was like a very weird feeling. And I was like, why is this happening? And usually I'm like, I don't know, kind of.
Laissez-faire.
Yeah, like whatever, go do you, whatever. But I was just like, what's happening right now? Like, come back. But yeah, it was very different. But yeah.
So how soon after that did you guys, you know, decide to move in together?
I think it went pretty quick. Like the time, like we were talking since we met, but then, it was a few months. It was relatively early. But like the steps from meeting to dating to engagement, like I think we've been married longer than like any of that period already of the dating period. So yeah.
And congratulations, because you guys got married during COVID. So let's talk about deciding to get married and the whole COVID wedding. Share with us.
So we had we got engaged in April, and then we planned to get married the following April. The plan was trying to figure out. So he's from Brazil, the plan was try to get his family to come: his mom, his brother, his dad, and his nephew, and maybe some aunts. But it's like such a process that we were trying to figure out when to do it. And then all of a sudden, like with the COVID thing, what was happening is like up until February. So we decided we were going to have something like small, probably like at home, like anyway, because like the timing with the family, we're going to have like a bigger ceremony with the family. Just because the coordinating of the travel thing was going to be hard. So we were going to do something. Yeah.
Originally we were hired as your party plan, as your wedding planners, Liz and I.
Yeah. So the plan was to have something big here, or not something medium here, but like not like an extravagant thing, like a ceremony, but like not a full blown thing. And then with the pandemic starting around like March or something, the lockdowns were starting, and what's happening is you're supposed to get your certificate like 30 to 60 days before your wedding date or something. And as we're like getting like really, should we postpone it? And I was like, I don't know what this thing, like they're saying 2 weeks. I'm like, I have a feeling this thing's gonna, who knows when. So like we were gonna postpone it to do 4th of July, because like that's one of my favorite holidays, and like everyone comes here and stuff. And I was like, okay, we could just make it 4th of July instead, or something like that, like when people are gonna be here anyway, and just turn it into something else. But I was like, I don't know. I feel like this is just gonna, who knows. This is kind of weird. So I was like, yeah, if the world's ending, let's just get married now. And so we ended up planning to just have something smaller and just scale it down. But as is happening, certain things are closing down. So like literally the office where you get the marriage certificates, they were like closing down, and then they weren't open to the public. And so we literally got the marriage certificate, like the application in the week before they closed down the office. And I was talking with the clerk through email and stuff, and I was able to like drop off paperwork through the Dropbox, and then she mailed something like it was like on the cusp of like everything closing down. And so we had everything. Our officiant was one of my friends from the military who he had his ordained, he's already ordained. We just used like a friend of ours who had video skills that we saw all the time anyway in our social bubble. So we kind of just worked it out, so it wasn't like a risk. It was within the parameters of the lockdown, so it was under 10 people.
Y'all said we getting married. Come hell or high water.
I was like, who knows when this is going to end? Whatever. Let's just do it now.
And y'all did it over Zoom.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it worked out better than it could have otherwise, because, you know, my mom's down in Florida, his parents are in Brazil, I had, like, family in England, he had, like, a cousin in Italy, like, you guys were in Georgia, like, there's people from California and all over. It was, like, literally everybody was able to convene and watch it, and then even like without having to be like, oh, sorry, you can't come, we only have this many people. And so I was able to do that and still have a, I think, a meaningful ceremony.
It was meaningful. It was a beautiful ceremony. You guys really like did it. I mean, you know, even from
how it was. I have to give him most of the credit. He was really, really good at, like, I'm good with, like, logistical stuff, like, certain things and audiovisual, but, like, the decorating, like, the backdrop, the lighting, stuff like that, he did most of the stuff. I did, like, the TV setup, the audio stuff, whatever.
So do you guys talk about, like, the future, like, kids and, you know, the white picket fence? I mean, you already have a house, but, you know, the kids, that fun stuff, the whole American dream.
Yeah. You already have the house and white picket fence. They say that plants are the new pets and pets are the new kids. And I have the two dogs that I had them already, but they love him and they're his too. So we also foster dogs. So, like, every so often I'll have, like, a third dog. Right now I'm on my fourth foster dog. We talked about kids. I think after he finishes school, and we're not sure, like, where we'll go. Like, certain programs are more promising. They're out of state. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't mind relocating or something for, like, depending on the job opportunity or whatever. So kind of trying to figure out, like, where his career would take him. Or in my career, I can work remotely, so it's kind of flexible.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I mean, that's smart, too. I mean, especially, it's funny, I like that. Like, pets are the new kids in some degree, especially in this era that we're in right now. But I think it is wise to, like, really focus on your, you know, career and really put that before you add any additional sort of responsibilities on your plate. So that's, like, oh, that's a really great plan.
Yep, well, that's one of the benefits of being gay. You can't get accidentally pregnant.
So, I mean, your story is definitely a very fortunate story, because, like, a lot of people, when they come out, it isn't even embraced, especially in the Caribbean culture. But do you have anything sort of, like, you know, you tell Caribbean friends or Caribbean families on how they direct or their behaviors about homosexuality and how it affects people in their lives?
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say a couple things. So one, there's gay people everywhere. Everyone knows someone who's gay, whether they know or not, they're there. So most likely you have a friend that's gay, a relative that's gay, a coworker that's gay. They're everywhere. It's everywhere. Probably, I don't know, I say what, 10% of the population or something like that. So the fact of the matter is that they're there, and it's not going to change. The only thing is whether or not you're a part of their life fully, and if you're letting them live their full life. That's really the only difference. Like, it's not going to, negative attitudes aren't going to change who they are. It might change their behaviors, and not for the better, because it's like a terrible burden and feeling. Like I don't think I realized how much it was until after I came out, like the relief and weight. And it's not something that you should have to do, like, to come out. Like no one straight has to come out, but doing it, it just kind of makes it, it's like a relief. And it's not even like the coming out, it's just the not hiding, not like caring so much about your actions, censoring yourself or thinking of consequences, stuff like that. That's the part that's the relief. So you don't really have to broadcast. There's some circles where, like, it's not advertised, like, people wouldn't even know unless I specifically told them. It's just more apparent now because I'm married or whatever. But like, political stuff, it was never like a topic that, like, I brought up. I know some people live more quote unquote openly than others. For me, it was just, it might be just my upbringing of being in the military and stuff, maybe my own notions that, but like, it just wasn't that big of a part of me, of like how I present myself. But other people, it's different. So I just let people be who they are. I would say that, like, even when I moved to my town, it was like a little bit more conservative, like not as liberal as Maplewood. I was still kind of worried of like being out. And this year is the first year that I actually put a rainbow flag out for Pride outside my house. And I've never done that before anywhere. So
I think that's, you know, it's cool, but it goes to say the person that you are too. I think, you know, especially when you grow up in, you know, a culture that is not so widely accepted, it's very difficult to sort of just, you know, kind of like, you know, just be as open and be as free. But I think you as a person, I think you've always been just this kind, very giving, very loving, very caring friend, you know, to everyone that meets you, that when that, you know, sort of, when you came out, I think it was hard to even, you know what I mean? Like, do anything but accept, you know what I mean, what it is. But I think you're right. I think it shouldn't, I think maybe 10 years down the line, I'm sure some coming out won't be a thing anymore. You know what I mean? But yeah. Like, I think, you know, as, you know, cultures change, as the environments change, as, you know, people are being more aware and people are being more quote unquote woke, it's just a lot easier to just, you know, be who you are and let us just, you know, accept it. It's funny because, like, I'm looking at your stereo Bitmoji and you've got your
my little
your
rainbow pride glasses on.
Yeah, exactly. So, in case you didn't know.
For today's episode, I switched it up a little bit.
But it also sounds like your own, I know you said, like, it's not that you have to keep, it's not like you should have to come out, but it almost sounds like you're still, in a way, emerging and coming out, like just having this year be the first year you put out your pride, you know, your rainbow flag. It's like every year that goes by, it's almost like another piece of you is like opening up until you can really just be like, all right, I'm letting my whole flag fly. It is what it is. Like, so.
Yeah, I would say even like at work, like a frontier, all the jobs, except for maybe one, they'll have like a employee resource group, and I would join like the Black group, you know, the veteran group, and they have like everything. And like I don't know if you knew, like, but my grandmother's Panamanian, I, you know, speak Spanish, so I'll go to Latin one, you know, chill up in there. But then I would join the LGBT group as well, and it kind of was helpful. Like, so I would have like at certain, it was weird, like at work, because like it's like a cross company thing, these are people who I wouldn't normally interact with and like my job capacity. So it's like having like a clique of friends at work, like in the community. So, and then it felt like, oh wow, here I am, like, again, living like double life, because like I'm not out to like coworkers, but at the same time, I'm not out. And then there's times where it's like, do I want to like say, like people will mention stuff like, oh, my girlfriend did this, or my wife is going here, or I'm going here. And then I'm like, do I really need to bring it up? Like, do I want to? And, you know, with certain groups, like with jobs, like people living across the country, you don't know how their reaction would be. So sometimes it's still like, is it needed to come out, or is it just like, you know, let it be?
I think it's all about reading your audience. And I think at this point, you know, it's, you know, the most important people are the people, like you said, that are in your inner circle, the people that are in your everyday life, the people you see every day. You don't want to have to hide yourself. That's one aspect. But I think when you're thinking about people that you sort of like come in contact with here or there that are not necessarily like, you know what I mean, people you would invite over or anything like that, it really doesn't matter. And I don't think it's necessarily, and that's where it goes back to what you said, like, you know, we shouldn't have to come out like, oh, now I should, oh, let me preface, I am gay. Okay, hello there. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it shouldn't be a list the same way, like, I am Black, or I, you know, so it's just like, it's just one of those things. But I think that, you know, it, deep thinking in that way, it's really not that, you know, serious on that aspect, because you're right, you know, because you never know, and it's not worth, you know, the, you know, potential negative reaction if that's, you know, what's the point? And I think that's one of the things, is like, you know, we have to stop looking at people for like, you know, these little things, like, you know, whether it be gay, straight, trans, all of that, it doesn't matter. I think it's like, are you a good person? Is this someone that I want to talk to? Is this someone that I would want to have a conversation with? Is this someone that is a good person? Is this, you know, that's all that really matters, you know, like it's not really about, you know, my sexual orientation, my preference, or, you know, how, who I identify myself as.
Yeah. I always wonder why, like, it's so important to people. I'm like, why does someone's sexual orientation matter so much to people that you aren't having sex with? I don't know.
And I mean, I can't, you know, speak from personal experience, but I would only imagine that, you know, at the end of the day, if you, you know, let's say it's a friend or a family member, you know, while, although the, if they don't accept you, it definitely hurts. But, you know, in the friend category, like just a case in point, the people that unfollowed you on Facebook, it's like, all right, good riddance. You know what I mean? Because if it's that simple for you to not accept me, you know, and if you want to leave my life or not, you know what I mean? You know, want to be my friend or want to be in my life anymore because of that, then, you know, so long, farewell, avidazin. You know what I mean? Because yeah, at the end of the day, it's like the people that, you know, do care, the people that love, the people that it doesn't matter to will accept you. So I'm really happy for you, you know, Ruel, as a kind and loving person and someone that, you know, I'm very grateful to have in my life, that, you know, for you, your story wasn't as, you know, sad or heartbreaking as so many people that, you know, have not been accepted over something like this, especially, you know, culturally accepted, you know, whether they're Caribbean or, you know, Latin or anything, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
yep. I'd say one thing that also helps is like, when you're not like dependent, like at that point I was like well into my adulthood and stuff. It's like, all right, well, if you don't accept it, I can go elsewhere. Like, I'm not dependent on anyone. The pressure's off, you know, so you can control your environment, who's around you and who you let in. So kind of on your terms. But people are coming out like younger and younger these days, and people had a lot more courage. I remember our friend, his little brother came out before me, and he was a lot younger than me.
We're just thankful that you were willing to come on. And even though it's, your story was obviously a lot easier to talk about because you did have so much support, just, we're just happy that you were willing to share it with us. So we're thankful that you came on and our listeners get a chance to hear a coming out story that is happy and positive. And it's just awesome, especially for Pride Month.
Did you hear about that NFL guy that like came out like yesterday?
Yes, I saw his TikTok.
Yeah, it's a guy from LA Raiders who he just came out yesterday, and they're like, it's like coming back to the whole coming out thing. Like, they literally sent like breaking news alerts that the guy came out because he's apparently the first NFL person while open. Actively playing. Yeah.
Yeah. That was open about it. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
That was actively playing.
Yeah.
Actively playing. Yeah.
Yeah. I think little by little, more and more, it'll be less of, we don't have to give these like grand moments. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, hello, I have cancer and I want you all to know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's just like, we don't have to, you know, we'll just be who we are, and it doesn't matter, you know, who we love and, you know, and why and how long. But we, again, we're very appreciative of you telling this story because, you know, it is a thing. And so, you know, we just are, again, grateful because we didn't touch on that on our previous episodes. So anybody that's listening, just like Liz said, check out the one before and then listen to this one. And for now, we'll be done with this episode.
Thanks everybody for listening to this week's episode of the Haitian American Diaries. Please be sure to follow us on our Instagram page at Haitian American Diaries. If you have any topics you would like to hear us talk about, or if you would like to be a guest, please be sure to send an email to HaitianAmericanDiaries@gmail.com.
And if you have pictures from your travels that you would like to share, tag us on our Instagram and we'll share them in our stories. Until next time, always love. Love.